pray. We see that it is important for us to take time to pray as well. Then he sends his disciples into the ship. Now, this is interesting what's going to happen. We're going to read through. I'll read through verse 21. We're going to see if we can make it to 27 tonight. But there's a lot here, and I want to try to do the best I can to bring it out. Verse 18. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Run back with me to...
What are we looking for?
Where they're at.
31.
What are these gospels? Might have mixed it up with the other gospels. Where it talks about Bethesda. No. There, sorry. All right. So, going back, when we're coming to where he feeds the 5,000, the Bible talks about he goes out into the desert place. It might actually be right over in Mark, because you don't have the miracle of feeding the 5,000 just recorded in the book of John. You actually have it recorded in Matthew and Mark as well. Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Sorry. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, rest a while. I'll have to come back to it to give you guys the exact reference. But when we come to Jesus feeding the 5,000, and we come to that miracle, we're told that he is in Bethesda. We have exactly what Brother Dennis brought out three weeks ago now, where he brought out that Philip is the one that asks, or that is asked, hey, how are we going to feed these? Philip, as Brother Dennis was told us, he is from Bethesda. They are in a desert place right outside the city of Bethesda. Okay? That's very important because in John chapter 6, when Jesus sends them into the ship, verse 17, and entered into the ship and went over the sea towards Capernaum, it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them because Jesus stayed back to pray. Remember, Jesus stayed in the mountain to pray. He sends the disciples across the way, okay? And the sea arose by reason of the great wind. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the water. So really quick, does anybody know how long a furlong is?
I forget the exact length of the furlong, but I've got wrote down in here in my Bible that this... 25 to 30 furlongs was 3 to 4 miles.
Yep. Roughly it'd be 3 to 4 miles. Some people say it takes about 8 furlongs to make a mile, roughly. So about three to four miles. Now it's very important because I want to try and bring this picture out of what exactly is going on. They get into the boat and they rowed about 3 to 4 miles. They are just going to the other side. That's what the Bible said when you come to verse 21. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went after Jesus got in the boat. The ship was there. But it explains it a little more when the people therefore saw, in verse 24, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping, came to Capernaum speaking for Jesus. They were looking for Jesus. They were just going across, and Brother Dennis even has the map up there with exactly where we're going. We're literally just going right across.
We're staying on the north side.
Yeah, you're staying on the north side. They only went 3 to 4 miles, but they couldn't get anywhere because the wind arose. The wind arose, so they're out there, they're toiling, they're stuck, they're getting scared again, and this time they don't have a sleeping Jesus with them. Last time they had a sleeping Jesus with them, and they were still scared. But the idea as you're looking at this and you're seeing, they're in the boat, they're trying to go across, this wind arose, they're rowing, they're doing everything they can, and forever, I mean, we don't have exactly how long it took them, but they were stuck. They were stuck in the sea, the wind was rising up, they're sailors, they've seen this happen before. When the wind starts rising, then you know it's time to get out of the water. And they're trying their hardest, and they can't get out of the water. They are stuck. They can't do anything. You know, a lot. The thing I like about this, though, is Jesus knew. It says that Jesus knew them. He saw them. When Jesus therefore I'm getting some of these mixed up. But so the sea arose by reason of great wind and blew. He went to 34 lungs. Jesus walking on the sea. They were stuck. They were at a spot in their life. They could do nothing to get themselves out. They were trying by the works of their hands to get to safety. They were trying to get somewhere that they could, quote unquote, be safe. They were trying to get out of water. But they couldn't. They were stuck. But Jesus knew. Jesus thought. You go back over to Matthew, and it'll actually, when you read through when the Lord walks on the sea, in the book of Matthew, it actually even talks about when Jesus saw them at the fourth watch, if I'm correct, on the ninth, it says that Jesus saw them. Jesus knew they were going through this trial. He knew that they were going through this storm. He knew that they were in trouble. And the thing that I like about this part, because when you go back to when Jesus was sleeping in the boat with them, Jesus was sleeping. So Jesus, whether he knew, because yes, he was God, he did know, but he was sleeping, okay? So whether or not, taking that out of the picture, he's sleeping in the boat. And they go wake him up, hey, we're so scared, we're going to die. You know, aren't you scared? You're just sleeping. Why are you sleeping? He gets up, peace be still. Boom, everything's done. But that's when Jesus was with them. Jesus wasn't with them at this point. But Jesus still knew what they were going through. And in this miracle that happens, Jesus comes to them. When we have a problem going on in our life, or something's not working out right, and I don't know what to do. You know, I don't see anywhere here where the disciples said, okay, we need to cry out to Jesus. I don't see any place here. Yes, Jesus was human. But we also have to remember, he's also God. That's why he walked on the water here. It shows his deity. It shows Jesus is God. There was nobody else in the world besides one other person that ever walked on the water. Pop quiz. Anybody know who that other person was? That walked on the water?
Suffered from foot and mouth disease.
Peter.
Well, that's why I said Peter.
Peter.
That he got busted feet.
Peter. Peter took that. Actually, you know what's really interesting? This is another side note, but Peter walked on the water. How many steps did he take?
didn't take too many.
What about them?
Maybe not. Or maybe he did. We're not told.
No.
We have no evidence whatsoever of how far he walked or how far he didn't. Mm-hmm. Because it says that the winds were boisterous. Okay, and he started looking, and that's when he started to fall. But that could have been 50 steps out. Or it could have been.
You think that's when he started to fall? I thought it was when he lost faith.
And he took his eyes off the Savior.
He took his eyes off
the Savior. Off the Savior and started looking at the trial that was happening. Right here, this is the trial that's going on. They're stuck. They can't. There's a storm going to happen. Their ship's going to capsize. We're all going to die. But I never see that they cried out to Jesus. Jesus knew what was going on. And Jesus was going to come so that he could show them. Because if you take a look here, as soon as they knew that it was Jesus, they took him into the ship right away. They had no question. But they were only trusting when he was physically there with them. They weren't trusting otherwise. The first time, they have him physically, but they're like, yes, this is Jesus. Yes, we're following Jesus because Jesus said to. But they're kind of, I don't know.
Easy to have faith when you can reach out and touch.
Mm-hmm. Easy when you can see it. Easy when you can see the end goal. But it's harder to walk and have that walk of faith, or the way I put it is your daily walk. Like Brother Dennis was saying on Sunday morning, are you a Monday night Christian because Tuesday church is coming? Are you a Saturday night Christian because Sunday morning's coming? Or are you a round the clock Monday through Sunday? We should not just come to church and we'll be good at church and then we'll go do our own thing. No. It's on Sunday I'm a Christian, on Monday I'm a Christian, on Tuesday I'm a Christian, on Wednesday I'm a Christian, on Thursday I'm a Christian. The disciples here, they were away from Jesus. They could have still trusted that Jesus would come to them, that Jesus would take care of them. But all that I see here is they're all scared. They're not looking to Jesus. And then when you go into Matthew and Mark, this same account, when the Lord walks on the water, they say it's a spirit. It's very interesting.
Is
Jesus glowing?
I mean, if it's in the middle of the night and they see him walking, they think he's a ghost.
It's very interesting. They say he's a spirit. Every time it's recorded in the Old Testament, go to Genesis 32:30. I want to kind of jump around a little bit and show you something. Genesis 32:30. This is one of the things that shows me where the disciples' faith level is. Genesis 32:30. This is talking about when Jacob was met with a man. Before he crossed over, after he sent his family over, and this is you probably know the account. This man comes, Jacob wrestles him, and Jacob does not let go. Even when this man, all he did was touch his thigh and popped it out. And Jacob still holds on and says, I'm not letting go until you bless me. In verse 32:30, though, this is after he's already said, okay, I'm changing your name. Your name's going to be Israel now. But verse 32:30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and this next part is very important, and my life is preserved. When you go to Isaiah, when he's having the vision, run over to Isaiah 6. Tonight we get to know if you know where our books of the Bible are. Isaiah chapter number 6. In the first verse, in the year of King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high lifted up, and his train filled the temple, stood with the seraphims, each one had six wings, twain he covered his face, and With twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. This next verse is important. Then said I, this is Isaiah, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. They were afraid. Jacob said, I was afraid, my life is preserved. I saw God face to face. Right here we have Isaiah seeing the vision and seeing God, and he says, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Okay? Both times, both accounts, just right here, and there's multiple other accounts through the Old Testament and even into the New Testament where, okay, the shepherds, we just had Christmas. The shepherds, when the angel comes to the shepherds, What does the angel say? What is the first thing the angel says to the shepherds?
Fear not.
Fear not. Why did the angel have to say, fear not?
Creepy looking.
Okay, wait, keep it.
Angels are creepy looking if you read the Bible. They got 6 wings, they got like 1,000 eyes. And
not all of the angels.
But, so the idea here, fear not. What did Jesus say to the disciples? When he came walking on the water, they thought he was a spirit. What did he say?
Be not afraid.
Be not afraid. He told them not to be afraid. It is a, because he is a spirit, the Bible talks about how we're supposed to worship him both in spirit and in truth. Okay, Jesus is, at this point, he looks like a spirit. Okay? The spiritual realm Israel. I'm not gonna get all creepy and woo and voodoo-y, but the spiritual realm is a very real thing. Elisha, and if I'm getting him correct, Brother Dennis, correct. But Elisha had his servant Gehazi. Okay? And Elisha, when he walked out the city, he said, he was totally fine. But his servant was scared. Oh! We're surrounded! Elisha was fine. He's like, it's okay. Oh! You can't see. Lord, open up his eyes so he can see. It was the spiritual. He was able to see all the angels around that had their swords that were red. Had nothing to fear. The spiritual realm, even in our life today, is very real. If these disciples were close like they were supposed to be with the Lord and knew of it, they would not be scared when they saw Jesus coming out, even though, as they said, looked like a spirit. Because there is a spiritual realm. Prayer. Has anyone prayed through the night here? Like, all the way through the night? Like, started and then prayed all the way through the night? No? Has anyone prayed for 30 minutes before?
Yeah.
30 minutes, maybe?
I pray before I go to sleep.
So,
when I start praying, I go to sleep.
Prayer is a very hard thing to do.
It is.
Because prayer, you are getting into the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. These disciples, if they were as close to the Savior, they would not have been afraid of him because it is a spiritual realm. Yes, I mean, it's weird that you got someone walking on water. I'm gonna be real there. That's gonna be weird. But it also, though, right here, it shows us where the disciples are. Have they been spending time? Have they spent time? Because the spiritual realm, we fight against principalities, powers of darkness. It's not a flesh warfare that we have. We are supposed to set ourselves up so that we can tear down these strongholds. These strongholds are not a military base coming to attack us. I mean, I'm not in my house getting every single gun that I can because a military base is going to attack me. I'm not doing that. We are fighting against the flesh. We are fighting against Satan himself. We're fighting against the demons that he's sending out. Spiritual warfare is a real thing. But we see the disciples were afraid. What I wrote down here is, can we see how Satan is attacking our homes? Do we see how Satan's attacking our relationships? Do we see how Satan's attacking our walk with God? Do we see how Satan is attacking with our finances? Do we see how Satan is attacking in our conversations, in our time? You name it. But this is a spiritual battle we're fighting. The only way that we are going to ever get the victory over that is when, as Brother Dennis, I've heard him preach before, when we are contrite in spirit. Meaning, we're on our knees. We're asking God for help. We're not going to overcome him by any means that we have. We're not going to overcome Satan with a gun. You know, don't get me wrong. You know, I know we've got our Second Amendment and we can carry guns if we want, but that is not going to help.
Nope.
This is a spiritual battle, and we have to be ready. That's why looking here, these disciples, we never hear in any of the accounts that they called out for Jesus. They tried their own hand. They tried working it themselves. I'm so thankful, though, that Jesus did come out, and Jesus did help them. And once they knew it was Jesus, they willingly, it's very important, look at verse number 21. Then they willingly, that willingly is the very most important word in that verse, 6:21. Then they willingly received him into the ship. Once they said, hey, once he said, be not afraid, that, you know, they're like, okay, we'll take you in. And when they took him in, as soon as Jesus stepped foot on that boat, all their problems ceased. They were on the docking shore. I mean, this is literally, I mean, I hate to bring it into modern day, but I kind of think of it like, you know, you got superheroes, you got superpowers, okay? Jesus walked on that, as soon as he touched that boat with his feet, they were teleported right to wherever it was. Yeah. I don't know exactly how it happened. I don't know how it felt because I wasn't a disciple in the boat that day. But as soon as Jesus came on, everything was fine. There may be trials, there may be heartaches that we're going through. But once we get Jesus involved, you know, and Jesus doesn't come right away all the time. But if we're daily walking with our Savior, we're daily reaching out to him, we're daily in his word, he's going to help us through that situation. He got on the boat. He could have made it where as soon as he got on the boat, you know, everything calmed down and they just sailed right to where they needed to. That wasn't the case here. The case was Jesus got there and everything was done and they were even on the other side. But you know, sometimes it's, I'll just calm the winds around us, and we'll be able to keep going. Other times, he takes care of everything. But how is our trust? Are we trusting him? Or the best way I can think of this, and forgive me, hey, water bottles, I can do water bottles. But, so, see this water bottle, okay? If this water bottle is me, okay, and I won't do this in real life because I think I weigh a little bit too much for my wife to catch. So if this is me and this is my wife, okay, and I say, you know, I'm just gonna fall back and I'll trust you to catch me. Well, if I keep grabbing onto something and holding myself up, I feel you're there. Okay, now I can let go. Am I actually trusting?
No.
How about, oh, I'll go, well, let's do it, let's have you just grab me and then pull me all the way down. There was no trust in that. Trust is when I completely let everything go and let God. God, even if this fails, I'll still trust you. Even if going to church, see, everyone says, oh, it's a waste of time, I trust you. Because you don't. You say, Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I will trust you. What come may. Whole world's against me. And keep saying, oh, that Jesus ain't real. You're just going to die. You're not even going to have fun in this life. Okay. I'm trusting God. Because I know that Jesus is real. I know that he did come. I know that he died on the cross. And I know that he's coming again. And I put my trust in him. He is worthy of everything. He's worthy of having me serve him. How's our trust today? Maybe there's a trial we're going through. Are we trusting God or kind of holding on to it ourselves? Oh, I can get out of this storm myself. It's okay. It's a little scary, but it's okay. Or are we saying, Lord, I'm stuck in this storm. I don't trust you.
Some hosts do. And you pointed out that how important that word willingly is. When you look it up, it's not just talking about, well, hey, we can do this, I can work with you type thing. Or we have that mindset of there's something that's going on. Sorry, I will willingly listen to you. This word willingly literally means to delight in, to have pleasure. In other words, that you are excited to do it. So even though you're doing a trust fall there, you are excited about it because you know, hey, Jesus has got it. It's all good in the hood. There is no issues whatsoever. It's not, all right, Jesus, I'm trusting you and take care of it. It's like, Jesus, I know you've got it. Praise God. Let's go. Huge difference.
All on board. Any other thoughts? Comments?
Something else I would also add in real quickly, yep. As far as the disciples here, getting that 25 to 30 furlongs, 3 to 4 miles here. And I've been on my little John boat over here on Wolf Lake before, over actually by where the bridge is for the toll road, and had the winds change where it was blowing out of the south. And all I've got is a little 150... I can't think of what it is now. But basically, it's just a trolling motor. I mean, it's not gas-powered. It's electric. And that the waves are coming up here like this. They ain't turning into white caps. But it took me over an hour to go from that bridge back over to the dock. So, yeah. Definitely very excited to reach the dock there. So I can easily picture how excited they definitely would have been. Number one, hey, Jesus is here. And number two, hey, we're here. How did we miss that we're here? Or whatever the exact circumstances were. Suddenly making it to shore is very, very nice. Because some of those places, because I got a little fish finder. So I'm seeing, okay, I'm in a depth of 6 foot. I'm in a depth of 8 foot. I'm suddenly in a depth of 15 foot. Hey, no. The wind can please let up so I can make it back. I'm at 20 foot. I know I'm trying to go this way. And, yeah, I get it. So go ahead.
Just thinking about this is what I'll leave us all with. How are there ways this week that each one of us can say, Lord, I'll fully delight in letting you have control. In letting you take control. And, just trusting him. Even if it's in something small that you haven't trusted him before, choose this week to do that. Maybe it's, I don't know exactly how I'm going to pay the next bill. I'll trust you, Lord. And maybe just tell him. Let him know that you're going to trust him. If any one of these little ones came up to me at one point and they said, throw me in the air, Daddy. You know that they trust that I'm not going to drop them. God the same way. If we tell him, Lord, I will trust you. And truly do it. Not just say it, but truly, Lord, I'll trust you. Put that money in the plate. I trust you.
You know, I pray for my kids every every time I pray, I pray for my children to come back to church. Because, you know, I ask God to penetrate their hearts. Give them a sign. You know, whatever. Let them know. Give them a dream, you know, that will touch their heart. I believe you will, if I keep asking.
Yeah.
And he will. You know, I know he will. I know he will. It might not be in my time. I don't know.
But we'll keep trusting him.
I'll keep trusting him. Keep praying.
Keep trusting
never
him.
Give up.
Yeah, prayer never goes unanswered.
I pray that way for my neighbors, my friends, you know.
Book of, you go back to the book of Revelation, God says he takes the prayers of the saints, and they are holy. And I picture it, and I can't give you exact Bible for this, but I picture, the Bible says it's an odor. I think Jesus picks that up every so often. And I remember when you were up at 2 in the morning, just to talk to me, just to say you love me. I remember when you prayed for your kids at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You're trusting me. I love that. And that's how I picture it. God loves to hear us. Just talk to him. Just spend time with him. And it means
you
the
can't
world.
Give up. You can't give up if it never happens. You don't see any. Like our church, for instance.
Yeah.
I know, Brother Dennis, it would be hard to be a pastor and see, you know, this pews empty. But God tells us never to give up. You know, we just got to keep praying and asking him to be the head of it, to lead it. Let it be a lighthouse. Let our church be a lighthouse in this community. You know?
And we'll trust God.
And God's going to answer. It might not be today or tomorrow, next week. But I believe if we keep believing in that and praying for it, it's going to happen.
It will.
Yeah. I can imagine what it's like to be a pastor and stand up and see, you know, no growth, you know.
All things in his time.
It's in his time. It's real.
Come on, close the door with the word of prayer, Brother
Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we had here for the Bible study this evening. And we thank you, God, for the lesson that you had Brother Tim bring to us. And we ask you, Lord, please to help us to get more willingly in our hearts to follow you, to trust you, to just go ahead and take those steps of faith there and do as you would have for us to do. And we ask you, Lord, please also to take care of all the prayer requests that have been made known and the unspoken. And be done according to your holy will. Pray, Father, for everyone who will be out traveling tonight with the weather the way it is, that everyone would remain safe. Thank you, God, once again, for loving us and saving us. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.